I want to welcome each one here this evening, and to those who are visiting with us, I want you to know that I appreciate the fact that you have made a choice to come and be a part of this service tonight. I know that you will be spiritually benefited by the song service, by the prayers, and by the engagement of God's Word. I would encourage you to consider carefully what I say and judge it in light of God's teaching. You are responsible for the things that you believe in. You are responsible for the way that you live your life, and so you need to take that very seriously, understand that you're going to be judged by God's Word. In our lesson this morning, we talked about the idea of Christian fellowship, and we defined fellowship by an earthly, worldly, secular dictionary, Webster's New World College Dictionary, 4th edition. Companionship, friendly association, a mutual sharing, as of experience, activity, interest, etc. A group of people with the same interest, company, or brotherhood. And this is a good workable definition for the idea of fellowship. But then we also looked at a variety of Greek words from the New Testament that sometimes will be translated with the word fellowship or a word like that. And basically, the point that we made this morning from the various Greek words is the fact that we're talking about a communion, a joint participation. We're talking about the idea of a sharer or a partner. We're talking about an associate, one who is there with us. And we made the point that when we talk about fellowship from the Bible, we're talking about something that is spiritual in nature. We're talking about a union that we have first and foremost with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in that union with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in the participation, the communion that we have with them, we also then have a communion with each other. And we have that communion with each other based on God's Word and the communion or the fellowship that we have with God's Word. And so this morning we talked about the different ways in which this idea of fellowship is used in the New Testament. We made the point that it is a relationship and that there are actions that stem from this relationship. And the action itself may not be fellowship as such, but it demonstrates fellowship. And we talked about the idea of giving to those who are less fortunate, the idea of benevolence. Well, tonight, as I mentioned this morning, we're going to talk about the concept of with whom or what may Christians not associate. Spiritual fellowship is ultimately governed by God. If there's not that connection between man and God, then even though we may associate with each other, we may do things together, we may share in many ways, we cannot have the communion or the fellowship that is talked about in God's Word. Among Christians, saints, the family of God. And so God is the one who governs all of this. And there are some boundaries. There are some people and situations that we cannot fellowship, that we cannot associate with. And so I have a list of just a few of these that the Bible talks about to help us understand that while we enjoy a close union with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, there are again boundaries. And the first boundary is the one that we read this morning and this evening found in the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 and 6, where he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so, as Christians, we cannot walk in darkness. That cannot be our choice in life. There's a contrast made between God, who is light, and sin, or that of darkness. And what we have to understand is anything that conflicts with God's Word, anything that is not true according to God's standard, that is darkness. Darkness involves sin. Darkness involves transgression. Turn over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and let's begin reading there in chapter 1, in verse 1. And listen to what he says. This is the King James Version. Listen to what he says regarding Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so we find there that in the person of Jesus Christ, He is the light to the world. He is the one that shines God's glory and God's will into our lives. He is the one who shows us the way. We know darkness by the sin we commit. When we reach that age of accountability and we make a choice to sin against God, that is darkness. And we cannot live in that kind of lifestyle and expect to be united with God. So a Christian then cannot, must not, associate himself with the darkness of this world. Neither may he associate himself with the sins of others. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul said, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." This laying on of hands is not the same kind of laying on that the apostles did in imparting the Holy Spirit. This is a violent laying on of hands. He says, don't do that. And don't take part in the sins of other people. Now think about that for a moment. The many ways in which we find ourselves tested in this regard, because sin is all around us. When we're on break at work and the conversation among your fellow workers turns a little rude and rank, do you sit there and listen to it? Do you even chime in at times? Do you laugh? Do you make comment? Are you not then participating, taking part in? Are you not then having fellowship? And that's the idea of the word there when he says, nor take part. That word or the phrase take part has to do with a fellowship. Do not fellowship or have a fellowship in others' sins. When you're called on by your friends to maybe go to a movie that you shouldn't see, or to go to a place where things are going to be done that you perhaps as a Christian should not go. When you're challenged by your family to do something that you should not do. The sins of the world are rampant around us. And we sometimes are influenced by the thoughts and the philosophy of this world. We get caught up and carried away with the mentality of what this world says is right and wrong. More and more religious people, people who say they believe in God, people who say they're Christians, more and more are falling to the devices of Satan in so many areas of morality. Paul says, do not participate in, do not take part in, do not have fellowship with the sins of other people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 and 21, no, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. And the word participant there, again, is a Greek word that is sometimes translated fellowship, a partaker. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake, there's that idea again, of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. In other words, you cannot have an association with these and still please God. In this context, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the eating of meat that has been offered to idols. And in this entire chapter, he deals with this scenario and how a Christian should respond. And one of the things that he says is you cannot knowingly go to a place and participate with this and enjoy the meat offered to idols and think that you're going to be pure if you do it with that knowledge, with that understanding, and with that purpose. You have to stay away from those things. He makes the point there's nothing wrong with eating that meat. The meat itself is not the issue. But if you associate or tie that meat with these idols, with these pagan worship, then there's a problem. And he makes the point that you have to make a choice. You cannot participate with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons at the same time. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You've got to make a choice as to who you're going to fellowship, what you're going to do in life. Then we also read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through verse 18, that we must not, as Christians, become unequally yoked to a point where again we begin to fellowship those in sin. In verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And the word partnership there is again one of those Greek words that's translated fellowship. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you and I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And so God makes abundantly clear here that as Christians, we cannot participate in those things that draw us away from God. We cannot be unequally yoked. And he defines for us. You know, sometimes we discuss and we debate, what does it mean to be unequally yoked? He tells us in this context, by all of the qualifications here. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? And on through the list. And the point is very simple. As a child of God, you are unique and different. You are a peculiar people. As a child of God, you've got to come out from their midst and be separate. And what he's talking about here again has to do with their lifestyle in their choices. He is certainly not saying that we must separate ourselves physically from people of the world. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 through verse 11, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that Christians cannot associate with those who are sexually immoral, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, who claim to be Christians. And again, if you go back and look at the first part of the chapter, you find that there was a man there who had his father's wife, and Paul says it would not even be named among the Gentiles. Not even the pagans would accept that. Not even the pagans would tolerate that. And Paul rebukes them because they had accepted this man in. There were a couple of things going on. Number one, this man was still evidently in their assembly, in their congregation. because Paul talks about that kind of a situation. And Paul warns them. He says, you should have delivered the man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that a soul might be saved. And he warns them about the effects of a little bit of leaven on the lump. And so at least part of it has to do with the fact that this man was still there in the congregation, in the assembly, and they accepted him. But there was another part to that as well. In verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Evidently, Paul had written a letter to them prior to this one. That's what most believe. Some think that he's just simply talking about his current words. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy or swindlers or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. And so going back to our point just a moment ago about being unequally yoked. And the idea is we cannot go out from the world. We understand that we have to be around people in the world and we have to associate with them in maybe ways that we would rather not sometimes. But listen to what he says as he continues on. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reveler, drunkard, swindler, not even to eat with such a one. And so he says, I'm telling you, don't associate yourself. Don't fellowship. Have fellowship, companionship with anyone who claims to be a Christian, guilty of these things. He says, and it goes so far as to not even eat with that person. My next lesson in this little series I put together will be dealing with the idea of marking and withdrawing, because that's a little bit of what he's talking about here. But the point is that if you have someone in the church, recognized, accepted in the assembly, and they're living immorally, and it's known to the congregation, something needs to be done about that. And the second point is, what is done is that it goes so far that it even affects our personal association to a point where we don't even eat with that person. In other words, we remove our association from that person. The fellowship, the spiritual fellowship, has already been severed. It was severed when the person sinned against God and lived in that sin, regardless of whether we were accepting the person or not. He's saying, you need to do what's right. You need to sever your association with whom or what may Christians not associate? Those who do not obey God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him that he may be ashamed. Have nothing to do with him. If you don't obey the words of this epistle, of this letter, and by extension, would we not say that the same principle would apply to any and all of God's revelation? That which applies to us from the New Testament? We certainly know in Revelation, John made the same kind of a statement as he concluded that book. Those who bring error in. In 2 John, verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. You see, the fellowship is broken. And again, we're talking about people who claim to be Christians, people who obey the gospel. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. There's not that connection Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone, now listen to this, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, now who's he talking about? Well, he certainly could be talking about the evangelist of a congregation. He could be talking about an elder in the congregation. He could be talking about a deacon in the congregation. He could be talking about any member in the congregation that stands up and teaches and brings in a doctrine, a teaching that is different from God's Word. Anyone that goes ahead, anyone that does not abide in the teaching of Christ. It could be someone visiting. It could be someone who has newly moved in and began to espouse strange doctrine. The point is, this is not limited to just those who are quote unquote members of a particular congregation. If anyone brings a doctrine in, he says, goes on ahead, does not abide in the teaching of Christ. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part, and there's that idea again, takes part, there's the association, in his wicked works. So do we see how strong this is? In this morning's lesson, we talked about the beauty of fellowship and how we have fellowship and enjoy fellowship and how we maintain fellowship. But certainly we agree that there are times, there are situations, there are people with whom we cannot enjoy a fellowship because of the things that they believe, because of the way that they live, because they themselves are not in fellowship with the Father. I fully understand that there may be times when it is a little more difficult to reach that conclusion. I fully agree and understand that there may be times when we are not willing to go that far when we have questions about something or someone. But certainly we do agree that there are times when the sin is clear and blatant, when there are times when people do not abide in the teaching of God's Word. Do not abide in the gospel. There are times when people living immorally, it gets to a point in time where there has to be that sever of the relationship. The fellowship has already ceased. God is the one who severed that. When the person rebels, when the person becomes apostate, God is the one who ultimately severs that relationship. And we can go right along ahead and ignore what God has done. And we can continue to accept people into our company just as they did there at Corinth. People who should have clearly, a person who clearly should have been disciplined, as Paul said. Don't even eat with that man. Don't eat with someone like that. And my question is this. As a child of God, why would I want to bid someone Godspeed? Why would I want to give that person greeting as if condoning their choices and their lifestyle? Why would I want there to be a leaven in my life, in my family's life? Why would I want there to be one in a local congregation? You see, the fellowship that we enjoy with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through the gospel and through the fellowship that we have with the gospel and the fellowship that we have in our obedience of God's Word, all of that means something. But it also tells us that there may come a time when that association has to end because the fellowship has ended. And please understand, faithful Christians never end the fellowship of someone else. When we get to this point that we're talking about, what has taken place is that someone who professed faith in Jesus Christ, someone who responded to the invitation, has become apostate, has fallen from God's grace. And that person has taken himself out of God's fellowship. And then it comes time to react to that, to maintain the purity of the congregation, and equally important, remember what Paul said. Deliver the man, the flesh, to Satan, that the soul might be saved. So, there are many cases where we cannot have a fellowship or an association with other people. We need to have the courage to respect God's will in this regard. If you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that this evening you will think about your condition. Realize that you do not have a fellowship with God. You do not have a fellowship with God's people. And the only way to remedy that is by responding to God's invitation. God wants a fellowship with you. That's why He sent Jesus. If you want to have a fellowship, a joint participation with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, come forward this evening, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized. If you're a child of God and you've sinned against Him, and maybe you've severed that fellowship, maybe we don't even know about it, but you do, and you know that fellowship is severed, ask God to forgive you. If you need the help in the prayers of the